In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. When the Lord met Mary Magdalene after his resurrection, he asked her to go to his disciples and to tell them that they go to Galilee and there they shall meet him. But the Lord said to her, go tell my brethren and Peter that they go to Galilee and there shall they see me. Why the Lord mentioned Peter by his name? Why he told her, go and tell my brethren and Peter? Why? Is there any significance for this? So what is the significance of saying to my brethren and Peter? Exactly. This answer is the right answer. Because some churches say the Lord said, tell my brethren and Peter, because Peter, he is the first among the apostles, or he is the head of the prophets, of the apostles. And this is not right, of course. But the Lord said Peter specifically, because I think Peter was ashamed of what he did. And I'm sure many thoughts were in his mind. Would the Lord forgive me? Would he accept me? Should I meet him? Maybe should I disappear? Maybe should I go to another country? So all these thoughts were in his mind and in his heart. And when Mary Magdalene entered and said, Peter, listen, the Lord mentioned you by your name. The Lord wanted to meet you. The Lord told me, go and tell my brethren and Peter. He mentioned you by your name. So this means he forgives you. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Go with the disciples. The Lord wants you. So this message was a message of hope, message of encouragement. Peter's heart was broken, and this message healed him and gave him hope of forgiveness, gave him hope of acceptance. And that's why today I'd like to speak with you about the restoration of Peter. Because Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And the Lord wanted to restore Peter to his apostleship once again. So, we read about the restoration of Peter in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. And this chapter is one of the very beautiful chapters speaking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in John chapter 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. There was a story. What's the story? Simon Peter and Thomas called the twin Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. So 7 of the disciples were together. Who are these 7? 7 disciples: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples. So 7 of them were together. And then Peter said to them, I am going fishing. I am going fishing. And of course, this was not right from Peter. Why? Because when the Lord called Peter and Andrew at the beginning of his ministry, he told him, Peter, from now on, you will not be fishermen of fish, but fishermen of men. You will start to be an apostle and to catch people into the true faith. So Peter now is going back to his first profession. He forgot about the calling of Christ to be his disciple, to be his apostle, to go and preach the good news, and he wanted to go back fishing. And I want you to keep this in your mind, because I'm going to return back to this point. But, and that is, you know, the influence. Peter got an idea, and he influenced the other six. And he took them, all of them went fishing. And that's sometimes when we influence one another. Sometimes if I have good idea, for example, if I said to my friends, let's go to church, let's go do midnight praises, I can encourage all my friends and go together. Or if I told them, let us go to the movie, let us go to do this or to that, away from the church, that is the influence. So Peter here had influence on the other six, and they followed him, nobody objected him. And they said to him, we are going with you also. We are going. So they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Can you believe that seven disciples, four of them, the Bible says, all their life were fishermen, children of fishermen, because actually Zebedee was a fisherman too. So they know all the secrets of the sea, they know all the secrets of the profession, but they caught nothing. You know why? Because they didn't have the blessing of God. And that's why they tried and tried and tried the whole night, and they caught nothing. And believe me, when we do anything in our life without the blessing of God, we caught nothing. We cannot catch anything, we catch nothing. So it is important, as we say in the litany of the travelers, be partaker with your servants in their work. We should ask the Lord, the Lord's blessing, before we do anything, before we study, before we work. We should ask the Lord his blessing, whether he is blessing this or not. And if he's not blessing, we cannot do it. Because no matter how much you will try, you will catch nothing. Seven experts, but they didn't catch anything. They caught nothing. That night, they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Why they didn't know him? There are many explanations why they didn't recognize him. But one of the explanations, because they were too busy with fishing. And sometimes when we are too busy with the world, we don't recognize the Lord. We don't recognize his voice. Even we don't recognize his presence, because we are too busy with the world. And that's another point we need to be very careful about. Are we too busy to the extent that we don't recognize and we don't know that the Lord is among us? Many people, for example, say, I forgot that today I took communion. How you forget that you took communion today? Because we are too busy with the world, with the things of the world, with the matters of the world, to the extent we forgot about communion, we forgot about the church, we forgot about the Bible, we forgot about prayer, we forgot about Christ. Even when Christ is speaking to us, we don't know that his voice. Many people say, how we know the voice of God? How do we know the voice of God? John chapter 10 tells us that his flock recognizes his voice. But let me give you an example. If you are in a factory, and in this factory there are many machines, and these machines, of course, making a lot of noise. And then your best friend, your brother, your sister called you. You cannot hear them because of the noise around you. In the same way, sometimes we don't hear the voice of God. We don't recognize His voice because of the noise around us. And that's why the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" He wants to rebuke them. "You try to catch fish, but you forgot that I told you from now on, you are no longer fishermen, but you want to go back to your old profession. So did you catch anything? Do you have any food?" As the Bible said, the gospel of today, "I am the bread of life. The man shall live by every word that comes from the mouth of God, not by bread." Don't be preoccupied with the worries of the world to the extent that you forgot God. So, "Do you have any fish? Do you have any food?" They answered him, "No. No, because we don't have blessing from God. That's why we don't have any food." So he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And that is the compassion of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord uses the same thing that distracts us from Him to bring us back to Him. So He is speaking to us, you know, in the way that we understand. They were preoccupied with their old business, with fishing. So the Lord used this not to distract them from Him, but to bring them back to Him. So He told them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. They caught many, many fish. And as St. John said, 153, and I'll speak about the significance of this number. But the idea here, no matter how much or what experience you have, if you don't have the blessing of God in your life, all this experience equals nothing. If you have the blessing of God in your life, then you can catch many fish. You can reach your goal. You can achieve what you want. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." John, although he went to John, loved God more than any disciple. And that's why he was able to know the Lord before anybody else. So he said to Peter, "Peter, it is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed, and plunged it into the sea. I want here to compare between John and Simon Peter. Simon Peter, he removed his outer garment. And the Bible didn't say this just to describe the scene, but there is meaning behind it here. Removing the outer garment and start fishing is a symbol of or signifies how much Peter was involved in fishing. So he was too much involved in fishing. And because of this involvement, he was not able to recognize the Lord. And also, Removing the outer garment is a sign also of being unready to meet the Lord. And because he was unready to meet the Lord, that's why he couldn't recognize him. But John was able to recognize the Lord and said, "It is the Lord." And now Simon Peter felt so embarrassed. So he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea. Of his embarrassment. And there is a big lesson for us here. In order to know the Lord, in order to hear his voice, in order to meet him, two things. Number one, we need to be ready for this meeting. As the psalm says, "My heart is ready." مستعد قلبي يا الله. My heart is ready. Are we ready to meet the Lord? How we prepare our hearts? Through repentance, through changing our life to be a dwelling place for the Lord. And number two, we need to put aside all the worries of the world. Because the worries of the world are like the thorns that kill the word of God in me and also choke me. And we need to put aside all the worries of the world. No, nothing can take me away from God. But God should be the first priority in my life. God should be everything in my life. Many people say, "We don't pray nor read the Bible because we are too busy." And I tell them, "I think because you are too busy, that's why you need to pray and you need to read the Bible. Because if I am too busy and I have many tasks to achieve, this means I need more blessing in my life. Because without the blessing of God, we will catch nothing. So if we are too busy and we have many things to achieve, this means we should pray and we should give more time to God in order to receive his blessing and in order to be able to achieve our task. But unfortunately, in the mind of many people, because we are busy, we need to put that away. And they don't know, by doing this, they are losing and not gaining anything like the disciples. They got nothing. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land. So Peter swam to the shore, but other disciples came in the boat to the shore, dragging the net with the fish. Then, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on. So actually, God here, the Lord Jesus Christ, already prepared the food for them. And there already there was fish there. He didn't wait for the fish that they caught. To teach them another lesson, if you trust God and if you surrender yourself to God, God will take care of you and will take care of all your needs. Just trust him and give all your life to him with faith, with trust, with confidence. This doesn't mean we should ignore our work or we shouldn't work. No, I'm not saying this. Because the Bible very clearly says, "He who does not work will not eat." مَنْ لَا يَعْمَلْ لَا يَأْكُلْ أَيْضًا. But the lesson here, no matter how much you work, if you don't have the blessing of God, you will catch nothing. But if you have the blessing of God, even if you mean low income or whatever, through the blessing of God, God can bless this little and make it sufficient for all your needs. And that's why they found already fish and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." What is the Lord asking them to bring some of the fish? The Lord here, again, is teaching us a very nice lesson in kindness. The Lord didn't want to embarrass them as if they caught all this fish and then he doesn't use it, or he doesn't need it. So he told them, yeah, just bring some of the fish that you caught and put it here together. Sometimes we are not sensitive to these things. For example, if somebody brings a gift for you, so sometimes we say, no, I don't need it because I have plenty of this. And we don't know that by saying this, maybe we embarrass this person. But being kind, like the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe, oh, thank you, I like this, I will use it. Now, as the Lord, he didn't embarrass them, and he took this fish and told them, bring some of the fish here. How we deal with each other, how to be nice and kind to each other, the Lord Jesus Christ setting a very good example to us how to be kind to each other. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And as I was speaking before the whisper about how St. Augustine tried to interpret all the numbers, so St. Augustine has very nice interpretation of this number, 153. It's a little bit complicated, but it's very nice. He said if you add 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 until 17, this will be 153. يعني واحد زي اثنين زي ثلاثة زي أربعة زي خمسة زي ستة سبعة زي 17 this will equal 153. So these 17 are the 10 commandments and the 7th sacrament. So through the word of God and through the sacraments of the church, we will receive the blessings of the resurrection multiplied. Because when we adding 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 17, this is as if we are adding the benefits of the blessing, and the benefit of the word of God and the sacrament of the church, and we will receive all the blessings of the resurrection multiplied in our life if we keep the commandments of God and the sacraments of the church. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. So everybody now was sure that he is the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now, after the Lord fed them, he started the restoration of Simon Peter to his apostleship. And he told him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And I have some observations on this dialogue. The first observation here The Lord called him Simon, and Peter called him Peter. Simon, son of John. Why the Lord called him Simon and not Peter? Maybe. Yeah, that's right. Peter is the name that was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ when he confessed that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. So the Lord said to him, you are Peter, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Heavenly Father. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of faith, I will build my church. But Simon Peter chose to go back to his old profession, his old business. And that's why the Lord called him by his first name, Simon, son of John. To tell him, I called you to be fisherman of men, not of fish. But now he went back to the first profession. And that's why he called him by his first name. His name before becoming a disciple. Like, you know, when we ordain priest or bishop, we change his name. And So if we call a priest or a bishop by his former name, this means we are like you are telling him that you are not in this order right now. You went back to your former name. So the Lord, when he called him Simon, as if because you choose to go fishing, that's why I'm calling you Simon. And that's why after this, the Lord told him, tend my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. The Lord told him, I give you responsibility to take care of my flock, my sheep, my lambs. So why are you are going back to your old business and old profession? You shouldn't do this. And if you are keeping doing this, you are Simon and not Peter. That's the first point. Second observation, the Lord said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? Why the Lord said to him, more than this? Why? The Rabbin said, أتحبني أكثر من هؤلاء. The Rabbin said, okay. Why he asked him more than this? Because he preferred fishing. Because there was, you know, a dialogue or dispute between the disciples, who is the greatest among them. Exactly. If we go back to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 26, the Lord said to the disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Attention for what was Peter's response. Peter had said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. So Peter here said, I am better than all these disciples. If all of them made stumble because of you, I will not deny you. If all of them denied you, I will not. And who was the one that denied the Lord Jesus Christ to speak? So the Lord here reminding him in a very nice and indirect way, Peter, do you love me more than this? Because before you believe that you love me more than the other disciples. Before, you thought that your love for me and your commitment for me is more than the other disciples. And because you trusted in yourself too much, that's why you were the one who denied me. So the Lord here, leading him to repentance, and he restored him step by step. And again, there is a lesson here. How we can be indirect, and when we try to lead somebody to repentance, how can we lead him in a nice and kind way? The Lord didn't say to him, listen, you said that even if all the disciples might know, I will never deny you, and you did this, and you did this. The Lord didn't use this way with him. But in a very positive and indirect way, the Lord started to lead him back to repentance. Do you love me? He didn't tell him why you denied me. But he asked him, do you love me? He didn't tell him why you said that even if all be made stumbled because of me, I will not. And now you are the only one who denied me. The Lord didn't choose this way. And again, there is a lesson for us to learn here how we deal with others to repentance. Now? Even in the confrontation, the Lord was very nice and indirect and kind with St. Peter. But Peter, of course, understood the message very well. He understood what the Lord meant. And then the third observation of this dialogue, how many times the Lord asked him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Three times. Why? Because he denied him three times. And that's why, in order to restore him, he made him say, I love you three times. The first point, that's in the response of Peter. I like his response very much. Because he said to the Lord, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And the second time he said to him, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So, St. Peter said to him, when you ask me, you don't ask me because you don't know, because you are God and you know all things. You know the secrets of the heart. You know what goes in my mind and in my heart, even if I don't reveal. So when you ask me, do you love me? You don't ask because you don't know. But you ask because you need to listen my confession that I love you. And yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, maybe I denied you. But this doesn't mean I didn't love you. Yes, I denied you because I trusted myself. And I didn't trust you enough. But this doesn't mean that I don't love you. And this response gives hope to all of us. Because sometimes we feel we are sinners and we are far away from God. And maybe this can be interpreted as we don't love God. No, we love God, but sometimes our weakness, like a barrier between us and God. And this one is the solution. We say, God, the lover of mankind, who knows the weakness of men, and God knows our weakness. But what we need to do is to cry and to ask Him to help us and to strengthen our weakness, to replace our weakness with His might and with His power. Don't trust ourselves, but trust Him more. But this is a very nice prayer. We can use this prayer when we pray and say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But maybe sometimes my actions and my behavior doesn't show this love, but you know that I love you. So help me. And help me to overcome my weakness. Help me to be strong help me to show that I love you, not only by my words, but my actions and my deeds. So there is a nice prayer here in the words of St. Peter. Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter was grieved when the Lord asked him three times. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And when I read this verse, I think about, now Peter, are you grieved because the Lord asked you three times, do you love me? And how much grief you brought to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ when you denied him three times. And you said with curses that you don't know this man. Sometimes we are grieved if God is disciplining us. But we don't think about how much grief we cause to the Lord when we commit any sin. Sometimes we question why the hand of God is heavy upon me, why God is disciplining me, and we are grieved. Why God is doing this for me? And we forgot how much grief we bring to His heart through our disobedience and through our denial and betrayal. So before you become disappointed at God, or before you feel upset with Him, with the Lord, think first about how much we brought grief to the heart of God through our disobedience and denial. And then the Lord said to him three times, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. And through these three words, the Lord restored Peter to his place as an apostle in the church and entrusted him once again to be an apostle. And this is a major lesson in forgiveness. I think if I am an employer and one of my employees betrayed me like Peter or denied me, maybe I will not forgive him forever and I will not accept him again, no matter what. But the Lord here is setting a good example in forgiveness. How He forgave Peter and restored him to his apostleship once again without embarrassing him or rebuking him harshly. And again, there is a big lesson here in forgiving one another. And then the Lord spoke about His martyrdom, the martyrdom of Saint Peter. لما واحد يتكلم مع حد مثلا على الموت ولا الوفاة ولا نهاية الدنيا ولا يقول له يا أخي ما تستعد يا الواحد مش عارف هيسيب العالم ده إمتى يقول يا أخي ما تصورش في وشي كده هو الناس بتضايق من ذكر الموت إنما السيد المسيح لما يكلم تلاميذه يكلمهم على إيه؟ يكلمهم على استشهاده وعلى موته because death to the Christian is not a bad thing. Death to the Christian is the beginning of a better life and a new life. And that's why all the saints were longing for this moment, the moment in which they will leave the world and start their life with Christ forever. So the Lord here addressed this point with St. Peter, his martyrdom. He told him, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands And another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. You will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And I'm sure Peter, when he heard these words, he didn't understand it at first. But St. John explained it to us. This he spoke, signifying by what death he was glorified us. Because Peter, how Peter was martyred, he was crucified. So actually, he stretched his hand on the cross. And Peter was crucified upside down. And his head was down and his feet upright. Because he refused to be crucified like the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was crucified upside down. And that's why the Lord said to him, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you.